much bigger. I only know one truth.
That's our word, brought to you by Action Point, my personal The Last Jedi. And I'm here with Jeremy Vanu Linger? I never remember your name. Of Abolition Abstraction and Seeds of Liberty. And I'm Jim Jesus, of course. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm just doing lovely, Jim. How are you?
It sounds like you're doing a whole lot better now.
I am. This is the last time we spoke. I've had some bad crap happen to me, but today I'm in a much better place. So we'll take that and run with it.
Yeah. you're living the real anarchist lifestyle, living in your car. So
yes, today is actually it's Friday now, so today is day 9 that I've been out here on my vehicle. So
yep,
it's been a fun few days.
We should get into that because the last portion I really want to get into some like. I really want to work out this idea topics that I've been having for the longest time, whether or not it's true, and it's really kind of libertarian theory-ish. But we should talk about the fun stuff first, which is you living in a van down by the river, which it seems as though like a lot of Lomers are starting to do that now. MK Lords.
Yeah. I'm just biting off Nick, man.
Yeah. MK Lords. She's traveling around the country.
Oh, that's right. I forgot MK was.
Yeah. And then I guess Ben Stone is somewhat a Lulbert, even though he's been on once. And he's pretty much retired from podcasting. But I just like, eventually I'll have you back on someday when you're feeling a little bit better or something. And of course, he's always been solving mysteries in his van with his wife. Then you have Nick, who lives in a van, literally lives in a van down by the river, growing mushrooms, and then and raising yaks, of course. And then you have Seamus, who's like keeps crisscrossing across the country trying to learn how to be poor. He's not living in a van or
learn how to be poor. It doesn't take that much.
Well, you know, if Where does he live? I think he pretty much lives in, like, Shermer, Illinois. You know, the fictional city that all the John Hughes movies take place in.
Oh, yes.
Is there anyone else? Bab is MIA. Who knows where he's at?
I haven't seen much. Well, I haven't been paying attention to social media that much, but I haven't seen much from Babby in a while.
Yeah, the only time I ever see him is on Facebook, and I'm never on Facebook, so...
I'm super jealous of him.
Yeah. And again, like, he's always traveling across the country with his family. He's always on, like, an endless road trip. I think that's about it. I think that might be about it. So, yeah. And then I'm moving. So, so there's that. I guess that's sort of the same thing. But that's not going to be for a couple months. But so, yeah. So, how is living in your car? The true anarchist lifestyle, which, by the way, I have done for a few days, like moving across country. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, yes, I'll just crash in my car. My move-in date isn't for another couple days.
Well, it's been interesting, man. I talked a lot about this before I actually did it, and I kept saying that I was going to go into this rather unprepared. And then, of course, because it's my life, All the shit hit the fan right before I finally closed on the house. So I was completely unprepared. Like, I literally just had the stuff thrown in the car, and it's like, all right, murder dog, we're going, and we're gonna figure this out as we go. And like, I didn't even have a location where I was gonna sleep the first night. I was just gonna drive around and find a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so it's just, it's been an adjustment. She, Murder Dog probably took it harder than I did because she was a little, I mean, she's happy to be with me because she's always happy to be like right next to me at all times. But, you know, she was definitely off for a few days because she wasn't eating, and then she had some stomach issues because, you know, she was going to the bathroom a lot more often than she normally did. And
which is always great in a van.
Yeah. Well, luckily she doesn't do it in the van. And,
okay.
yeah, no, just, you know, whenever she had to go, it was like a lot more, you know, it was a mess. So, but she seems to be righting herself now. And yeah, I got, luckily I have a friend who lives close by who I hadn't spoken to in a while, but, and I forgot that she's like super big into camping and stuff. So she found out that I was doing this and she reached out to me and she's like, I've got all these supplies. If you need anything, I'm not using it. So like she hooked me up with like the coolest little camp stove I've ever seen. This thing is like tiny. It weighs 25 grams, like less than an ounce. And it fits in this tiny little drawstring bag. And you just,
nice.
Take it out, flip it open, screw it onto one of those little propane tanks, and boom, you've got yourself a little stove.
Propane
and that thing has been a lifesaver for me.
Propane and propane accessories.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's good stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's been fun. I mean, like I said, I kind of just wung it and ran out the door. And,
of course,
every
you're
couple
using
of
that,
days I've been.
You're using that outside, right? Propane.
Oh, of course.
Okay. Just
well,
sure.
No. I actually recorded a video. I recorded a video of me testing it out the other day because I have a bunch of people that are apparently following my travels here. I've come across a whole bunch of other people already who have been doing this full time for years, and they've all like made their way over to my different channels and stuff, and they've been connecting with me and commenting and stuff. And I kept getting requests because I kept, you know, I said I was going to do a daily vlog while I was out here. Number one, just so I had content and, you know, try to make a little money off of Steam It or whatever. And also just to kind of have like a routine because I know me, like I can just hang out and do absolutely nothing all day and like, you know, smoke a bowl and get high and be like, whatever. But I function a lot better if I have at least some kind of structure. So I knew I needed a routine. So I said, I'll do these videos. And then I got a bunch of requests. They're like, hey, these are great, but can you like do some outside shots and show us some of the stuff you got going on? So I made this video with the camping stove. Unfortunately, for some stupid reason, I happened to be on Amazon right, like literally right before I started recording the video. And I ended up on the page for this camping stove because I had looked it up earlier because I was trying to make a link for it so I could put it in the show notes. And I happened to catch the top review, and it was this picture. It was a bunch of pictures of this thing in pieces. And then it was this long story about this, how this thing exploded on this guy. So I'm like literally about to record this video and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm going to die. Like, this is how I'm going to go. I'm going to blow myself up in a county parking lot for some park with a propane tank. And I was a little worried, but luckily I did not blow up. And the thing works pretty damn well. I was for like it only costs like $17, so like $17, and this thing can fit in your pocket. It's well worth the investment, even if you just like to camp every once in a while.
Sounds like a good deal.
So,
but a lot of times when people post that stuff, like, oh, it's terrible,
I'm just
going to
keep
it on me. Chances are they fucked it up when they put it together, or they did something horribly wrong. Yeah,
you keep breaking up. I have no idea what you're saying over there.
Anyways, it don't matter. It's all bullshit. But anyways, yeah.
This is going to be interesting. We're just going to keep – each of us will just talk, and we'll pretend we know what the other one's saying.
Right. Well, you know, that's me in a nutshell anyway.
Yeah.
Nothing.
My connection apparently is my connection is apparently crap because I hear like a I'll hear like a burst of words from you and then all of a sudden you'll disappear.
Well, that's interesting because I don't hear that out for you. You actually sound fine.
Oh, yeah, like I said, it's my connection. Unfortunately, I don't think the wireless card in my laptop is the greatest. And
which is interesting because
I don't even know where I am. I'm pilfering somebody's
You're not breaking up on my Wi-Fi, end, at least.
I try. I'm trying.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, now you broke up, now that I mention it. Once I actually say it, then you start breaking up. Damn it.
Anyway. I don't know. Maybe we should type back and forth to one another.
Yeah,
and we'll, then we'll and then talk aloud. About it, and then pretend we actually heard it.
So, how are you doing? Send. Anyways,
yeah. I don't know. You were before we started recording, I could hear you a lot better, and of course, now that we're recording, you keep like. I watched a little voice connected thing go from like perfectly green to red, and then just.
Yep, it's Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even though it says I have great signal, I don't freaking know.
Yeah.
Anyway, wow.
So
to finish up what I was saying before, yeah. So that's, I mean, like I said, I've just been learning every day out here, so you know, it's fun.
Living the dream. Oh yeah, we got sirens and everything. Anyways, so I have had this theory, and interrupt me if I start interrupting, or if it gets interrupted by bandwidth and you're not hearing me. So this thing has been like stuck in my crawl for a while now, where people are making this argument that Hoppe makes about the public roads, which apparently I thought was Chase Rachel's, because I didn't think Hoppe would say something this stupid, but apparently he did. The basically the argument is, you know, if you're hello. A net taxpayer, well, hello, are you interrupting me because you can't hear me?
Well, I heard you talk about the next net taxpayer. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
What about it?
So
they don't exist.
Yeah. Well,
that's what I think.
So what he said was, if you're a net taxpayer, then you should have like a share of the road once the state goes away. Right.
Yeah, that's the argument.
Yeah, and that of course, once the state goes away and everybody has their share and they're a net taxpayer, they're not going to want the immigrants to come on the road just because reasons.
Yes.
In a holla, and I'll try to remember to post this in the description, but in a holla, who was a YouTuber on YouTube, was an ANCAP YouTuber for a while. He ended up like disappearing, but I guess now he's back. He ended up making a really good video about kind of refuting this idea. But I was thinking, like, well, are there really net taxpayers? Considering, you know, one, you know, first you have people who were like, you know, people who would call net consumers, right? Which we would normally yep. assume people who take. Welfare, Medicaid, or maybe not Medicaid, but, you know, Social Security, disability, WIC, all these other programs that the state provides. Those are the people that they're really concerned about all the time. But they don't kind of consider things like, you know, well, not just infrastructure, but all the other things that the local, state, and federal governments dump into the economy via services and spending that you are a consumer of, whether you like it or not. And chances are you're probably not paying your quote unquote fair share of that, no matter how you divvy it up, be it like, you know, one person, $1, or, you know, per income or whatever. I don't think it's even possible to be, well, I guess it's possible, but I don't think anybody is a net taxpayer at the end of the day. If you're consuming the services of the military protection, quote unquote, I don't think it's good. I'm not saying it's good, but you know, you are consuming it, right? You know, they dump yeah. billions of dollars into military overseas actions, you know, domestic spying, policing, drug war, all this other stuff that you're paying for, and you're receiving the benefits of those services, but you know, blowback and black markets and gangs and all this other stuff. Is it really possible to be a net taxpayer?
I don't think so. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, ever since this argument was first brought to me by, you know, of course, my co-host on the Seeds of Liberty, who both, well, now there's four of us, but two of them really think this is a great fucking idea. And every time I've had this conversation with them, my question is, who qualifies as a net taxpayer? And in talking with them and then talking with anybody else that I bothered to have this conversation with before I just gave up and didn't want to have it anymore, it always came down to the same things. And most of them, including my friend Andre, would like, and I don't even think they realized that they were saying it, because they would say things like, well, yeah, you know, in order to become a net, because I'm like, define net taxpayer for me. I mean, obviously I knew what they were trying to get at, but I was like, define it for me. And every one of them who ever tried to define it to me always said the same type of thing. It was always, you know, you pay in more than the benefits you take out. And right away, my first thing was always like, so you're admitting there's benefits to this, right? Like, you know, like, aren't you screwing your argument right there? They, of course, didn't want to touch that one. And, you know, my next thing would be to point out, well, OK, let's assume for the sake of argument that there is such this thing as this net taxpayer. Do any of us actually qualify? And they would all say no. And I'm like, then why are we having this stupid fucking argument? If none of us are actually net taxpayers, like, they even admit, most of them, the honest ones, will admit that they're not net taxpayers, because you're right. You do. I mean, I figured this out. I mean, I knew this anyway, but like, I've run across this just being out on the road. The one place that we've stayed more often than not is one of the local county parks, because normally they shut them down at night, but this one has a marina. So it's open 24/7 because people can come and take their boats out whenever they want. But, you know, I've been making use of this place, and they've dumped a lot of money in there. You know, I mean, hell, even the dog park now has AstroTurf in it. but yeah, there's all these little things that most, like, the people who make these arguments, like you said, they don't take into consideration that you're literally benefiting from so many, like, there's so many little stupid things that you don't even realize. And this, of course, is not me advocating for government in any way, shape, or form, or saying that I approve of this type of behavior. But there's things you don't even realize that you just, you, so if the argument, like I said, every single person I've talked to about this who takes this position, they all seem to say the same thing, that, you know, it's a, you know, what you pay in versus the benefits you receive. I'm like, so we're already admitting there's benefits. So we all know there's benefits. And if none of us are, then this is absolutely an exercise in futility. This is nothing but mental masturbation, because none of us qualify. Like, the only people maybe possibly would be like the corporations.
I don't even know if that's true, considering all.
Exactly.
Because consider all of the benefits that they kind of get being a corporation, right? They get, I guess, you know, corporations would exist under, you know, any form of anarchy. I mean, limited liability. Just because the government goes away doesn't mean limited liability goes away. That would be insane to be like, oh, I invested in a corporation, now I'm responsible for all their misdeeds. That'd be insane. No one would ever invest in a company. Considering that, you know, they get, you know, special perks, they get regulatory hurdles that prevent competition for them, you know, all of their infrastructure when they decide to go off seas, like, the government will, you know, protect them, you know, take for example, like, all the oil companies and everything, when they drill overseas, or deep water horizons and stuff, you know, they get to, like with the BP oil spill, you know. The government is the one that, you know, protected them in the beginning, and then they're the ones that kind of protected them when they fucked up. The government fucked up on that one, too. That's a whole other thing. Anyways, so, like, they get all these protections, and then on top of that, they get all these, like, loopholes. I remember these stories used to come out all the time, like, Google basically paid $0 in taxes for, you know, the fiscal year of this year. This is outrageous. They should pay their fair share. And then you have all these personal income tax loopholes that they're able to pay out because they can, and then you have these, like, a lot of the really super wealthy people, a lot of their money they get from, you know, investing in stocks and bonds and all that stuff. And you don't have to pay income tax on that one. You're paying, what is it, the 15%, what is it called? God damn it. I remember Bill Clinton tried to raise this for a while, and it burned him, and so he ended up having to reduce it again. I'm trying to remember what it was called. But yeah, you don't pay income tax on that. You just pay a 15% tax corporate gains? I think it's called. Something gains tax. And so, you know, that's not that much, considering corporate taxes can be anywhere from 20 to 30%, depending on where you're at. And then not only that, but all these services that you get provided for, right? The state doesn't get enough money in to pay for all that service. So they ended up borrowing trillions of dollars from the Federal Reserve. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't make. I don't think it's even possible, considering that they're overspending on all your services anyway.
Well, yeah. I hadn't even thought it through that much. And I, you know, and now listening. Well, from what I could hear, what I actually heard you say. You got a good point. Like I said originally, when I made the argument against this, I said maybe like those were the only ones I could possibly think of, just because the amount they allegedly pay in, you know. But yeah, when you take all that stuff into consideration, yeah, there may not be a single net taxpayer under the current system. No.
Unless you get one of those people who purposefully overspend on their taxes. You know, people that go to the IRS website and like, oh, you can spend more money on your taxes. I don't know. I don't think there really are. I mean, I guess it's theoretically possible for a billionaire to go like, I'm going to spend the rest of my money paying my fair share and what I get back in social services. But that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Yeah, but, you know, and on top of that, you could save a whole bunch of money on your taxes by giving to private charities, which, again, like, sure, that's great. I think that's better than giving your money to the state. But if we're talking about the next if it's a good to be a net taxpayer, that would be a bad thing to give to charity, right? If you're going to deduct it on taxes. I don't know.
Yeah, good point.
And then on top of that, like, so let's just say that that's not all true and that rich people do pay the majority of taxes. Like, a lot of super wealthy people are like Democrats. Like, a lot of them. I think Bill Gates is a Democrat. Warren Buffett is a Democrat. All the celebrities in Hollywood are Democrats. And if they're going to be the ones with the shares to all the public roads, what do you think they're going to vote for? It's not to kick out the Mexicans. I guarantee you that. It's not going to be kick out the Mexicans.
Well, the same thing with if we're putting all the other stuff to the side and saying that's, you know, what you laid out isn't true, then even if you look at the corporations, you know, same thing. They don't want to get rid of the Mexicans. They use them for labor. There's no way in hell they're stopping that, you know. So, I mean, I always thought the argument that a lot of these people, and I was about to say idiots, and then I stopped myself. I mean, no, they are idiots. Even if some of them are my friends, they're idiots. I mean, I never thought any of them made sense, but this one in particular, I just don't get, because, I mean, you've laid out more of the actual, like, the facts, like what actually happens here as far as like benefits goes than any one of them that I've talked to has. Because, like I said, every time I ask what qualifies as benefits and how do you determine that, and also, like, I love to fuck with them because most of them are all they fancy themselves ANCAPs and whatnot, and I'm like, well, then aren't you just shooting yourself in the foot repeatedly? And they just get mad and they don't want, because I'm like isn't value subjective? Well, yeah. I'm like, then how do you determine who benefited how much from what?
We're going to take like an objective stance, like, okay, what did you benefit from the service? Meaning that you got more out of it, whether or not you liked it or not, but you got more out of it than you did, than you put into it, right? Well, essentially, I got a lot more out of, you know, military services than I put into it, more than I could possibly imagine. Especially if I've been affected by any kind of terrorism, any kind of blowback, because that's basically a service that we're getting from the state, is blowback from, you know, all the military actions overseas. Or if I had a family member who died overseas, you know, hey, that's a pretty big benefit because he died for my freedoms and all that stuff, right? That would make sense. But did you lose me?
I started to, but I, okay. No, you're right. I mean, yeah. I lost somebody because I lost multiple people because of the blowback. So yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't think any of these guys actually thought this stuff through. This just seems to be another one of those things that they picked up a thread of something that they read through Hop or whatever, and they twisted it to their own liking, and then they've just convinced themselves that
that's what Hop was arguing. That's exactly what Hop was arguing.
And it's just a buzzword. that now just net taxpayer. And it's like, and then, you know,
he's a net taxpayer.
Yeah. It's like, none of us are net taxpayers. Now what? And like, none of these guys, like, even, like I said, even the in-depth conversation I've tried to have with some of these folks, they can never get around that, but they just seem to like want to sidestep it and like move forward. It's like, no, you, if we're not net taxpayers, then why are we arguing?
Yeah.
There's no point. Like, okay, nobody gets anything. Okay. Stupid.
So like, let's take the other position. Well, okay. Well, not everything is a benefit, right? So we can say that military action overseas is not a benefit to anybody. Okay. So then we're only talking about like, well, welfare. But if we're going to talk in terms of like what's actually good versus what's, you know, what's perceived good, because there's lots of people who'd say like, oh yeah, our military action overseas, that's a benefit for me. There are a lot, there's most people would say that, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people would say that, well, when I take welfare, that's good for me, but even though it's not. Even though if you take welfare, you know, that actually harms you. That's actually bait on a hook. You take the money and then all of a sudden you're locked into this rung on the ladder where if you take $1, like a $1 raise or a 50 cent raise, and that bumps you up into that next bracket, then you lose all of those services that the state provides because you're no longer eligible for those services.
Yep.
So lots of people will quit their job. Or if they have a job, they'll quit their job because they know that if they work there one more month, there's a mandatory raise that they have to take, and then they will go get a job somewhere else where they know they're not going to get paid as much, just so they can keep those benefits. Because if they do take one more dollar, sure, that looks good on paper. I'm getting more on my check, but you're also losing Section 8 housing. You're also losing food stamps. You're also losing all these other programs that you're going to get. So is that a good for a person? Absolutely not. It locks them in poverty for the rest of their lives. How is that a benefit? So basically none of us are benefiting from services from the state at all, especially if you drive on the roads and you hit a pothole, right?
Yeah.
And the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like,
yeah, that's actually one of the worst things.
There's no way you can slice this up logically and be consistent and work out that someone is a net taxpayer, no matter what methodology you use, no matter how you're trying to divvy up the portions of your responsibility of the state, or how much you should owe, be it, you know, percentage of your income, or just like you're just one person, you get one share of the responsibility. Like, no matter how I divvy it up, I'm just like, it's just not possible. Well, it's possible. You could, like, you know, you could be a billionaire and then just go, like, I'm just going to dump all my money that I know I'm going to end up spending in Medicare, Social Security, all that stuff. I'm just going to dump it all into the IRS. But that's it. And no one's doing it. So who's a net taxpayer? I want names. Yeah. I want names.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, the thing that baffles me the most is not even that, like, you know, you and I could sit here and well, sort of discuss this you know, poke all these holes in it. But like the fact that people continue to make this argument, even after somebody points out to them, well, none of us are. So why, you know, like, but they still want to proceed with it. And I think it's just, I don't know, because it's funny. The one thing you said about, you know, there's no logical way to look at this. And that's, you know, that's the most hysterical thing about this, because all these motherfuckers pride themselves on being so logical. It's like, how are you missing this? Like, I was able to poke this thing like Swiss cheese in a matter of seconds the first time you presented it to me. And I wasn't even thinking that hard. And I'm not saying I'm not like super smart or anything, but like, if I'm able to do that, you guys haven't thought this through. I just, like, to me, it just ends up being, and it sometimes it hurts me to say this, because some of these people, like, you know, like I said, they're my friends and I care about them. But it's like, sometimes I have to wonder if some of the opponents that are the more vocal opponents of these people are really right, and these motherfuckers really are just racist bastards that are looking for any fucking excuse, because it's like, you have nothing here. And I don't want to believe that about some of my friends, but it's like, dude, you have, like, there's nothing. You literally have nothing here. You're just throwing these words out. They mean absolutely nothing.
Well, I don't know. I don't think all of them are racist. I think what they do is they try to, like, oh, I think this is all silly, but then they start hearing that, like, all these ideas are coming from people like Hoppe, you know, people who are big names, and they're like, well, I can't disagree with Hoppe. You know, I can't disagree with this person. Because, you know, if you do, then it's, you know,
yeah,
then see, everybody kind of gets lockstep, like, oh, you can't disagree with Hoppe, you can't disagree with Rothbard.
I mean, I've read some of his stuff, and I do believe.
Oh, you do believe? You do believe? Well, I guess I should talk until.
Oh, I was saying, I was saying I do believe that most people have misread Hoppe. Most of his fanboys are not really reading what he's actually saying. I think, I mean, but I find it interesting that they, people like this have that, like you were talking about, like you, oh, I can't disagree with that. It's like, well, I mean, I know Rothbard a lot better. It's like, dude, if you follow fucking Rothbard, he changed positions multiple fucking times over the course of his fucking career. So like, how can anybody focus on one thing that one person said and go, well, I can't disagree. I can't go against him. It's like, he went against himself later in his life. You know, they all fucking do. Everybody does. You grow, you learn, you change your fucking opinions.
Yep. Oh, I definitely changed my opinions from where
and
I
you don't have to agree with everything everybody says, you know? Even when I was just going to say, even when I was like a huge Rothbard fan and I just quoted Rothbard constantly, like even then I still disagree with a lot of stuff I came across. But some of the, you know, like the whole eviction thing, you know, the children, evicting them from the womb or whatever, like all stuff like that. And it's like, okay, I knew from the beginning I didn't agree with this guy fully. I don't understand why some of these people have to be like so hardcore. It's just like, yeah. Well, he said it. It's got to be the word of God. It's, you know.
Oh, I remember Ben.
Actually, when I did a couple of months ago, when I did a show with Mance Rayder, and he brought up this one of the pieces that Rothbard had written a while ago, basically trashing both the left and the right. And saying there was just no hope in putting up with either of them. And it's like, and I try to present that to some of these guys who talk about how, oh, Rothbard tried to go against, you know, he tried to work with the left. And even, you know, he said you had to give up. And it's like, and then later in his life, he decided that, you know, you got to work with the right. I'm like, yeah. And you realize he died before he finally admitted that that was a fucking absolute abject failure too, right?
Yeah.
But if you go back, you know, what I think he wrote I forget the name of the piece right now.
By the way,
he wrote that back in like the late 60s. And it's like, he had a much different opinion. Like, you gotta. Yeah.
You know, like he was trying to work with paleocons at the end of his life.
Yeah.
Pat Buchanan, sure, he's not the greatest libertarian in the world at all. I mean, at all. But, you know, he's far more palatable than, you know, Donald Trump is in terms of economics and libertarian ideas, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah, well, Buchanan's also better. Now he's more anti-war, right? He used to not.
He was always anti-war. Buchanan.
Oh, I knew he had been for a long time. I thought like way back in the day he was, but that's the one thing about him that people, you know, because I've listened to a lot of his stuff and I remember him. I'm old enough to remember him. Like, you know, he's running for president a bunch of times, right?
Yeah. He's not.
Yeah, you're right.
He's no saint by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but does he even call himself a libertarian? Because
no.
I was going to say he's actually more of a libertarian than say somebody like, I don't know, Bill Weld or fucking Gary Johnson or, you know, like.
Just bake the damn cake.
People who actually call themselves that and run under that banner. Yeah. So, yeah, but Buchanan definitely. I mean, I disagree with him vehemently about a lot of things, but yeah, very anti-war and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Hoppe has contributed like a lot of really good ideas, but he's also contributed like a lot of really, for lack of a better word, stupid ideas. Like really just downright bad. That was one of them. The other one is argumentation ethics, I think is an absolute joke. I put it up there with like UPB in terms of quality of ideas. It's just, it doesn't stand up to the most basic scrutiny. And people who've criticized, you know, argumentation ethics are not just like, you know, communists and socialists. Like, I think the most notable like critique of it was Robert Murphy, you know, from Contra Krugman, you know,
yeah.
Tom Woods' podcast host. Like he's a big like advocate against it. You know, I think they're just really bad ideas, and they're not really completely fleshed out a lot. And Hoppe does that from time to time. Like he'll contribute something that's really, like, really good, you know. And it is a really good kind of successor to Rothbard. But then then every once in a while he'll just say something ridiculous like net taxpayer. Like, I don't think you thought this one through there.
Well, that's
all the way.
How, you know, a lot of his fanboys apparently think the same exact way. They get that. Like, and that, like I said, that was my first critique, and I don't think I went anywhere near in depth as Murphy would, but you know, like, that was my first critique when it was brought to me. I was just like, you guys haven't thought this through, have you? No. Like, you know, I have found myself ever since, like, you know, the so-called rise of the alt-right, at least within the libertarian circles and everything, and Trump and everything, like, I have found myself saying the phrase, you guys are disconnected from reality, more often than I ever thought I would, because that's one of those things that used to get, you know, that used to get thrown at me when I first became a libertarian and an anarchist. You know, that's something we, you know, people hear all the time. Oh, you don't live in the real world. We live in the real world. You can't have this stuff, utopian, blah, 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 blah. But now I've turned around and had to say it to these people, because I'm like, dude, you guys really are disconnected. Like, now I understand why that stereotype of us got started, because listen to your fucking selves. You have these half-baked fucking ideas that sound great on guess what? Ironically, they sound wonderful on fucking paper. Isn't that one of your critiques of communism all the time? Oh yeah, sounds great on paper, but I'm like, you're doing the same fucking thing. Like, you have an idea, it sounds good, and despite claiming to be the more logical individuals and the people who think things through, you just like grasp onto it. And I really think it all boils down to, like I said, I think a lot of it is, maybe there is, you know, more bigotry, racism, whatever, I don't know, that's buried under there. But I think a lot of it is just, especially when it comes to like this particular subject, you know, coming from, it's something that, you know, they gleaned off of Hoppe. It really seems to me that a lot of these folks are still stuck on, despite how logical they claim to be, like the great man fallacy is their favorite thing to go to at all times. They still need that fucking great man, you know. And
there
it's
no
just
great men.
No, there's not. And it just, you know, I really think that's what it is, because I mean, you even see it with all the people that turn it, you know, to the whole, oh, we have to help Trump win, because as long as it's not Hillary. And then they started buying a lot of his bullshit, like, and trying to be like, well, look at all the good stuff he's doing. It's like, dude, you're falling right into it again. Stop.
Well, Hitler made the train run on time.
None of these people are our saviors. not even Hoppe. All right. Fuck it.
Yeah. Yep. Rothbard definitely made a lot of mistakes. I think Hoppe made a lot more mistakes. Well, Rothbard made a lot more tactical mistakes. Hoppe made a lot more intellectual mistakes. Molyneux is just a mistake. From the ground up, it's just a giant mistake. Seamus was a mistake, but no. I'm sorry, I had to.
Yeah, it's all right.
No. Seamus is great. I'm just messing with him. MK is a mistake. No. incoming hate mail and fan letters. Someone commented on one of my YouTube videos from.
Yeah.
Whoa. What?
Oh, what?
What? What? So, yeah, someone commented on one of my YouTube videos, and that's when I was really like, you know what? I've heard this, and I keep hearing this. I don't think there is a net taxpayer. And I was driving, and then it like dawned on me, like, no, they're just, it just, I don't think it's possible unless you really dedicated billions of dollars. You know, if you made billions of dollars through other means, and then just decided to pay off all of your quote unquote debt to state, local, and federal governments. You know, and you dedicated that money just to doing that, just so you can pay off your quote-unquote fair share. I don't think it's entirely possible, considering that, like, the ballooned cost of healthcare that you're going to end up having to pay when you get older, and you're going to end up taking things like Medicare and Medicaid, because it's not – you'd be insane not to take Medicaid and Medicare when you get older. It'd be insane, because it would put you – and your family, like, in financial hell forever, just because of the ballooned costs of senior care. Like, it would be insane if you did not
absolutely
take it. You know, and the financial havoc that would wreak on your family if you didn't. It would just be insane. Just knowing that that is going to end up going to be like the final bit of your life. There's no way that you could possibly walk away from that as a net taxpayer, for sure.
No, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, like you said before, I mean, use any of these examples. Yeah. Unless you're the fucking billionaire who literally has nothing else to spend that money on and can keep dumping it in there. It's not possible. And it's not even the fact that nobody's doing it now. That's not something that anybody would do anyway.
Yeah.
As much as I try to stay away from absolutes at like all fucking costs, like that's one of those things that I think, yeah, I don't know. I think you're right. I don't think we can get around. And, you know, like I said earlier, I've had this discussion a bunch of times, but I didn't even think about it. I don't even think I took it as far as you did, only because I didn't have to, because I kept running. I was able to run up, you know, put up brick walls in front of these idiots anyway, and they kept running into them. So I didn't have to take it further than that. But when you really think about it, yeah, man, there is no way. And if there is no possible way to be a net taxpayer, then that entire argument blows up. And I really wish they would find a new one to at least entertain us for a little while. Man.
Another equally bad idea that we can play around with for a while. But yeah, someone commented. Yeah, it was a comment on a YouTube video that I did about Cantwell, when Cantwell used to advocate for killing cops. And I was like, well, if your whole point is like you're using state services and your activities demand that more people get stolen from, then Cantwell drives on the roads, so we should shoot him, because that increases demand for more work on the roads, right? Even if it's just a little bit. You know, if we're just going to make it as an axiom, right? Is that if you benefit from any kind of government services, period, that would require other people to get stolen from, then yeah, Cantwell should be shot. So should everybody else, though. Which, by the way, I'm not advocating someone shoot Cantwell. I'm not saying that. Let me just make that clear. But if that's the argument to kill cops is because they're doing that, then you have to also take the position that Cantwell should be shot too. But I don't even think he holds that position anymore, because now he's kind of a cop licker, I guess. Boot licker. Oh, did we lose Jeremy? I think we lost Jeremy.
I'm here.
Okay.
Been here. I couldn't hear you for the longest time. I heard all the background noises you made, but I couldn't hear any of your talking.
Well, that's because I wasn't talking. I was waiting for you to say something.
Oh.
Yeah. We had some disconnect. Well, I also wanted to keep it quiet so I know where to cut.
Heard is when you first mentioned Cantwell a while back, and then you just dropped out completely.
Oh, yeah. Well, Cantwell's not important, so you didn't miss anything.
Anytime you vaped.
I can hear all quit that. Vaping at any time.
Good times. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. So tell me about Action Park. Speaking of stupid shit.
What?
You said that you went to Action Park
so bad.
Growing up.
Were you asking about me, Jim? Because I can't even hear you.
Yeah. Just tell me about Action Park.
Action Park. Yeah. I miss that place. I mean, they shut that down years ago, didn't they? I don't know. I haven't been back there, but
they tried
Action
reopening
Park was wonderful.
It
was one of those places where they, you know, they had all sorts of, you know, they had water rides and, the one thing I remember the most about that place was what the hell was that thing called? It was like the bobsled thing that you did.
The Alpine
or whatever
slide.
It was. You sat down in that little, sled and shot down the concrete half pipe or whatever it was, and like
Alpine slide,
like, you almost every time you were, yeah, the Alpine slide, that's what it was. You know, you were sure to end up with like the, you know, a rug burn times a million anytime you even slid off that thing a little bit. And like so many people used to get, I think they had to shut that down because so many people would get ejected from it.
I think, yeah, two people died.
Just launch off of it.
Yeah, two people died on it.
That's what I remember most about that place. As much fun as it was, it was shut down repeatedly because people kept like getting really badly injured on different things.
I don't know why, but it's not showing up that I'm talking. This is bizarre. Damn you. This is Discord's fault. This is all Discord's fault. All right, let's see. And I'm actually going to leave this edit out. I'm actually not going to edit this part. There we go. Let's try disconnecting and then reconnecting again. All right. Damn it. Turn green.
Green.
Green. Can you hear me?
I can hear you right now.
What is with this thing? Because it's normally when I'm supposed to talk, my little thing is supposed to turn green, and I had it always on, but it's never green. But you can hear me though, right?
Right now I can hear you.
Okay. So, yeah, apparently like a couple of people died on the Alpine slide. Like one kid that was like 19 flew off of it and cracked his head open, died. Yeah, like a bunch of people died. Then you had the wave pool that they had cranked to 11. And, of course, there was no salt in the water, so it made it even harder to swim in it because you were less buoyant and people were drowning in that thing. You know, good, clean, wholesome American fun before the helicopter came around. go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's what I was going to say before. I mean, so many people, like, it was a bunch of them. I think people even died on the, they used to have that one thing Tarzan. That was halfway, I think people died on pretty much every ride. But there was that one thing they had, it was like halfway up the mountain, and it was, you passed it as you went down the Alpine slide. But it was one of those things where, you can turn the they turn the air on, and you put the little suit on, and you can get blown up in the air and stuff like that. You can do all the different flips and tricks. People died on that fucking thing too because the air would like shoot up to like it would like crank itself up, and like people would get shot up and over the whole padded system and out into the woods. People got caught in trees and shit. yeah, the place was a fucking death trap, but man, it was fun as fucking hell as a kid. I remember that.
What was the other? Yeah, the Tarzan swing. That was the one where you swung out like Tarzan on a rope, and then you jumped out and you went into the pool. But the pool wasn't really a pool. It was like a little lake that got its water from a spring, and spring water is like super, super fucking cold. So people would go in, like get into the water, and then like get shocked by the coldness of the water, and then they couldn't swim, and they would drown.
Instant hypothermia.
Yeah, and on top of that, people were like dudes would pull down their pants, or like chicks would lift up their tops. So like in front of all these kids, and nobody cared because everybody was high or drunk. Like all the lifeguards were high and drunk. But I saw this movie I was waiting for this movie to come out called Action Point, which is supposed to be about that. And it stars Johnny Knoxville, so it's got a lot of, like, jackass stunts. You know, like, he actually goes down the Alpine slide and beefs it and gets a concussion. Which there were some funny parts in it, but it was just not funny. It was a terrible movie. And they tried to paint Action Park as, like, oh, we're making these rides as dangerous as possible, and, like, we're trying to hurt people. Which was not the point of Action Park. The point of Action Park was, like, you were in control of the rides, and yeah, because you're in control, you know, there's risks to it. And not only was it insulting, it wasn't funny, the story, you didn't care about it, nothing. It was just bad. And some of the, like, the stunts or whatever weren't funny because of, like Jackass. The reason why Jackass was funny in a lot of cases was, like, you're seeing people get injured, but then you're also laughing at the response that the unsuspecting public is having on those stunts. Which you don't get because they're all actors in the movie. It was terrible. I was so anticipating this thing to be great, and that because Bad Santa, or not Bad Santa, well, Bad Santa is great, but Bad Grandpa was amazing too. But again, like, those were also playing off of, you know, just people walking around in public, seeing this old guy get, you know, pummeled by something, and then just them going like in shock, like, oh my God, are you okay? Which you didn't get with this movie, and it was just bad. So that, yeah, this was my The Last Jedi. Everybody was so disappointed with that one, and I was like, yeah, it's fine. But this one disappointed me.
I've, you know, speaking of that, I finally saw The Last Jedi, and I didn't think it was that bad. I don't know what everybody's bitching about.
But it ruined your childhood.
No.
You just don't know it yet.
Yeah. That must be what it is.
There's a lot of really bad parts of that movie. Like when she... Yeah, there's a lot of bad parts of that movie, but I thought it was enjoyable.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it up there as my, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go full out like.
Well, apparently your internet went full out.
people like. Wait, because.
Really?
Positive opinion about.
That's interesting.
Shot.
I know exactly what you're saying. Jeremy, I think we're going to have to wrap this one up. Your internet's terrible.
My internet is actually fine. I don't know what.
Uh-huh.
I've been Wi-Fi thing. I think it's Discord.
It may yesterday actually be Discord. Yeah, this isn't going to happen. So, anyways, in summary, while we wait for a moment of clarity from Discord, I'll just say there's no such thing as a net taxpayer, and anybody who does probably lacked Action Point. And and yeah, so where could they find more of your stuff, Jeremy? Hopefully, it'll work long enough for you to.
Well, if people can actually hear this,
there we go.
The best place to find my stuff these days, is actually Steam it, because that's where all my stuff goes first. And I'm putting a hell of a lot of content up there right now. So steamit.com/@abolitionistj.
Still doing podcast.org
if you want.
Oh, I'll say that. SOLpodcast.org. Is it all worked until you said SOLpodcast.org? So you got like three times that it was said. Anyways, thanks for coming on, Jeremy. Hopefully I can get a Hail Satan out of you before your internet cuts off again.
Hail Satan.
That worked. It worked enough. I'll talk to you later, man. We'll try again some other time. All right, man. Take it easy.